run the DNA, check it against his med records.
What are you people working on up here?
We're analyzing bones, artifacts. We're not doing anything like this.
Then what the fuck is that?
It must be a genetic mutation. Something environmental or viral. I don't know. It may even be reversible.
It's irreversible.
Not necessarily.
Dr. Carmack's condition is irreversible. Because Carmack's condition is that he's dead.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic and glorious episode of Nerd with Dre Alvarez and Jeff May. I am your co-host, Jeff May.
I'm Dre Alvarez, your other co-host, found most places, Nerd Numbers. Jeff, I'm going to steal the mic in a second, but I got to introduce our amazing guests first. Let me ask you guys this. John Ryman, Tom Ryman of the Scream Play podcast and many other things that we'll discuss, sure, I'm sure, in plugs. But have you ever been referred to as the Ryman?
No, not once.
And you still haven't.
All right. So anyway, let's go with the first. So Tom Ryan, you want to say, hey, really quick, you all know him. If you're here and you don't know
Hey,
Tom,
hi, hello. Yeah. Yes. This is Tom.
Dre, that was so smooth.
Thank you. I can edit around it.
I really would hope you don't.
Yeah, I saw that too. So I had to jump back to. So you may know Tom from Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, and you may also know Jeff from Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, and you may also know Jeff as the person who, when things go off the rail in podcasts, literally yells at the editor on air. They're not allowed to cut it out. All right, last person, John. Do you want to say hey? And then I got to steal the mic back for a long diatribe.
No problem. How else are you supposed to do it though, except yell at the editor during the thing?
So, Dre, you said you're about to steal the mic. Is that to introduce the episode?
Yes. So we are doing Doom the movie, the glorious 2005 Dwayne The Rock Johnson launched his career, I'm sure. What else was he doing around that time?
Nothing.
Scorpion King, baby.
He had no prospects at the time.
Be Cool, I think. Was that around this time?
He was starting to be in a lot.
What, the Rundown? Rundown was good.
Rundown, Walking Tall.
Yeah, those had all come out by this point, I think.
Yeah, and those were all relatively good. So it's pretty decent that we get this.
Let me give you two a background. Usually I like diving into the weeds about how the idea for a season or episode came about. And John, this is all your fault in a good way, in a glorious way.
Awesome.
You were interested in a crossover between Nerd and Screenplay. For those that have not listened to the Ryman do the Screenplay podcast, they discuss scary video games, you know, playthrough, plot, should you keep it, things they like, things you didn't. You're such a nice dad, John. The last episode you did for your kid,
yeah,
Little Nightmares 2. And so you were like, is there a crossover? And so just so happens, Jeff was looking for ideas for this season of Nerd. And I was like, Jeff, you know what we could do? We could do the Super Solvers computer game from the 80s where you learn math and reading by finding like haunted robots in a thing.
Can I add what I said?
I don't know what you said.
Can I have
say?
My own line?
What do you got?
Nobody's going to listen to that goddamn podcast.
I think you're a little nicer, but I think you maybe were like, we could think about it.
I was being polite. I wanted people to actually listen to the podcast. Real quick, by the way, of course, Screenplay is available on Gamefully Unemployed, as well as where you get Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, and all that as well.
Thanks, fantastic Jeff. Stuff.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
So I was like, hey, perfect. Maybe this is a crossover between our two. That could be a game. That could be a scary game we play and a Nerd episode. And Jeff was like, how about this instead? We like movies. We can do movies that have been converted from bad video games converted to movies. We started with Street Fighter. This would be a perfect one. And what I also love, Jeff, I'll give you the mic back here. You pegged this perfectly because when I threw this to you, John, you had like a bunch of suggestions. And Jeff's like, I got the one they're going to go for. And as soon as I suggested it to you, John, you were like, that one. No other choices. And
absolutely.
You chose wisely.
Some people would say that I have my finger on the Tom Ryman pulse as well to know, like, of all the things we had, I was like, it's going to have to be Doom for several reasons, not the least of which being I know how old Tom was when Doom came out, and I know how much Tom was waiting for that movie when it came out. And I assume these are very similar periods here where it's like, yeah, because this was... I mean,
tracked the development of this film.
Yeah. We had the shareware. We had the shareware. Remember that?
Reading like IGN updates.
And Cinescape about updates on the Doom movie.
Yeah. And boy, this was probably, I mean, this wasn't, okay, so look, this came out in what, 2005, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I think almost all of us, or all of us in here, are in our early 20s when this movie comes out. And we had been heartbroken before, but this is a post X-Men era of,
of anything was possible
adaptations. Before, it used to be
9/11, X-Men.
Yeah. We had so many. We had first off, we had 9/11, which changed everything.
Which really opened the doors.
Yeah. Which next season, little spoiler alert, 9/11, three episodes.
But you could do a season on all the movies that were moved because of 9/11.
Oh, we could do, what was it, like the Mariah Carey one?
Glitter. Big Trouble.
This might disguise. Shout out to y'all with the video game. Like, I don't know where y'all came from. I don't say that, but I guess I do. But I was really interested in getting Red Alert 2. It was on sale at Target the week of 9/11. And they actually did not release it because the first mission of that, as the Russians, you go and destroy a bunch of U.S. monuments. So they pulled it. So I did not get Red Alert 2 on sale because of 9/11, because Target's like, yeah, we're not honoring the price of last week.
That's how the terrorists win,
Target. Yeah, in a way, the terrorists won. And this was it. Yeah,
look,
this
we absolutely can was never it. Forget. And this will remind you. Red Alert 2 will remind you.
So a little bit of history about this conversion. Of course, Doom, not the first first-person shooter that had massive popular appeal. I think most people point to Wolfenstein 3D as the main first-person shooter that really broke out. From there, as we move on, Doom becomes the one that like sweeps the nation. Like Doom is the one that they're like, this is going to be the franchise that changes everything. It was badass. It was right around the time when parents thought that video games were going to cause us to become murderers. And it turns out it was mostly Ronald Reagan that did that. And so what you see is you have this thing become, it's the Mortal Kombat of first person shooters. Like it's the thing that they're going to be like, we need to put ratings on these and we need to do this.
They rode the bus together to school.
They sure did. They eviscerated the bus driver together to school. There are games that have these like grips on pop culture, even when it takes a while for a game to come out, you know, like Half-Life 3, when's that coming out? You know, like there are certain games that people are waiting on, and Doom and Doom 2 came out within like 2.5 years of each other.
Yep, it was like the very next year.
And then Doom 3 came out like 13 years after that.
Yeah, 10 years, I think.
Yeah, something like that. So but now we're on the Doom hype train.
One of the big things I think that helped just kind of like pump it into the public eye was the fact I brought it up earlier, shareware. They were kind of like the first studio to do that. So like we had people at school just passing around the same disc, just getting it downloaded.
You know, it's really fascinating. The shareware aspect of stuff is kind of how people thought music was going to be.
And Jeff, I'm going to have to ask you, because some of your younger viewers might not know. Do you want to explain shareware, or I can give it a crack?
Essentially, shareware was the drug dealing version of software, where they were like, the first taste is free.
It was a demo.
Yeah, it's a demo. And then it's you put it out there. People like it. They can come and buy the next stuff, right? They can come buy the following chapters. Wolfenstein,
but a huge demo. Yeah.
Doom did it. Yeah. It was a big deal. And then everyone's like, this game is insane.
Doom gives you 9 levels and a full
episode. Yeah, I think it's the full first episode.
Yeah, it's almost, it gave you a third of the game for free.
So then we fast forward a little bit. Now, video game movies historically did poorly, and not financially necessarily, but certainly ratings wise at this point in time. I think up to that point, Mortal Kombat, 1995's Mortal Kombat was the only one that people were like, well, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Whereas like every other video game movie, I guess Street Fighter has the camp quality to it. And even Super Mario Brothers didn't know how campy it was, I think, when it was being made. But
what a picture.
But boy, Fiona Shaw's in that one.
And sure, we all know that
I am a Fiona Shaw autograph collector. So did I just bid on one on eBay just today? Another one? A third one? I did. But so we're looking there, and then. But the problem is everyone's like special effects, you know, we're not at the point yet where we can do these things. It's all practical still for the most part, blah, blah, blah. Really, we start looking at movies like Blade, which leads to X-Men. And now we're seeing like, oh, you can do adaptations. Then Spider-Man, and people are like, oh, you can do adaptations. And they're like, time to do Doom. And we're like, we can't always do adaptations.
But you can do Adaptation, which came out the same year as Spider-Man.
Gosh, darn it.
I got to ask you, Tom, you said you were waiting for this.
Jeff said that. I was tracking the development of this film, yeah.
When it came
like
out,
the
did you
early
see it?
90s.
Did you see it in theaters, like, opening weekend?
Uh-huh.
How can we do a flashback to Little Tom? How did that go?
Little Tom? I was 22.
Little Babby Tom.
I still called him Little Tom.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I remember thinking it was not good, but I liked it.
Well, that's good.
A ringing endorsement. I was going to say, Jeff, do we want to do, I think I can do the game actually super fast. And then I want to see, we've been giving Jeff speed runs on the movie. And then there's so many places to go. Oh, the places we will go about this movie. The
so
game,
many corridors.
Yeah. Corridors, hidden
dark corridors.
You shoot walls. They open up, they give you ammo. You find like blue orbs that are, it is such an awesome game for how awesome the game is. Even 20 years later, the movie is so bad. 30 years later, oh my God. But the game, the premise is you're a space marine on one of the moons of Mars. You've been sent there as a punishment. Basically, the military is doing secret experiments of teleportation. The military accidentally transports one of the moons of Mars above the gates of hell. Demons get up to that planet, teleport back to the planet you are on, kill everybody. You are the lone survivor, and your take is you're just going to go in guns blazing. You fight through your facility, you teleport to the other moon, you rappel down to hell, you kill a spider brain, that's the final boss. You go back to Earth to discover, oh no, Earth's been invaded with a bunny head on a spike. I watched that today. That's the game. That's the game, Jeff. Does the movie live up to the game?
I mean, it is hell. So, yeah.
I like that the Christian devil is a mechanical spider.
Honestly, you know, this is one of those things where like you're reading like some story and they're like, you know, the devil can take whatever they want. And sometimes it's like a sexy lady.
And sometimes it's a big spider mechanical with a machine gun.
There was actually a big wall in Doom 2 that just fires things at you. And isn't John Romero's head behind it or something? Whose head is behind
that wall? I think all the programmers are if you clip through it. That's the Icon of Sin. That's the boss of Doom 2.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's just a whole ass thing. And again, love the game. We look at the movie now, and I know like this is one of those things where like as I'm watching, I've watched this movie over the past 36 hours, I've watched this movie 3 times.
Good oh my Lord. God. That's a fun
one
time.
Too many at minimum.
That's too many. But I did it because, and I'll tell you why I had to watch it 3 times. I still don't know everything that happened in this movie. Like this movie has granted me a form of amnesia that is very specific.
It's dense, like matter on the surface of Mars. Is that right? Are
you
heavier
say it's,
on Mars?
You could say it's dense, or you could say it's just awfully written. Just the worst. This screenplay is so bad that even the good parts are like kind of bad, like of the dialogue.
Oh, yeah, the dialogue's awful.
Yeah, but I said this actually before we started recording. I view this movie as the Dirty Dozen for the Mountain Dew generation. So yeah. there's a couple of quotable lines that maybe shouldn't be quotable, but are.
Yeah,
you could have spent your life under a microscope instead of a sniper scope.
Every
Tom.
Time I hear
that's
that.
That's a good one.
Every time I hear that line, it's like
good one.
Eating glass. I can't stand
good one. I mean, how about a legitimately good one? You can shoot me, Reaper. I was thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a great line.
I have
to the point where it almost feels like you were like, I think that was an ad lib.
Or Semper Fi, motherfucker.
And I do feel like the reason that was an ad lib is because it's also delivered so different.
Can I deliver this with charisma?
This movie is an inspiration because it is an inspiration to all of you that are like, there's no way I will ever be able to write a screenplay. I beg of you to find this script and read it.
It is baffling. Like I said, I like this movie. I do like this movie. I recognize that it's not good. But it is baffling to me that this is the Doom movie.
Yeah, right? Because it's not really Doom.
It's not really Doom. Like Event Horizon is more Doom.
Yeah,
there's
something about this too, and there are rumors, and I'm not sure if these were ever confirmed, but apparently, like, major money from the producers in this, because Universal's a production, were like hardcore Christian, and they really pared down all the Satan stuff. And you'll notice that, like, all allusions to, like, satanic things are just gone.
Not in it at all.
It's gone. It is now. And the best way that I put this is this is the highest budget sci-fi original movie that has ever existed.
All the sets look like shit. I love this movie. I've seen this movie at least 15 times. I'll see it many more times before I die.
John.
But this,
you have so many hours.
This is your punishment. Like, is this a punishment, John? Like, every time you take the Lord's name in vain, you have to watch the Doom movie?
I don't know why it would be a punishment. I rock with this movie all the time. It's the best movie to watch while you were drunk and or high, like, ever. I have not had a better experience on any kind of edible than watching this movie. But the sets look like shit. They look like dog shit. Like, they put a bunch of, like, mall sliding doors in, like, a Czechoslovakian fucking empty warehouse.
Okay, this does have severe Eastern European.
Oh, this is Eastern European factory. Yeah, definitely. This is Bruce Willis filmed dark. A few movies in this same building.
When Tom and I were watching it, we were like, what kind of shitty ass lab is this? How can they see anything?
It's funny, as you're watching it, you're like, how did Uwe Boll get this budget? And then you're like, this isn't one of his movies?
But come on, sci-fi has a bigger budget for sets than they did on this, it seemed like. Because
did they just give it all to The Rock? Like, this movie was $70 million in
fuck you. No, it wasn't
money.
Really.
$70 billion in 2005 dollars.
Listen,
let that into your brain.
There's a couple of monsters in it. There's some practical monsters. There's a lot of
practical monsters
shots.
Look good.
They do get some Doug Jones moments in here.
Yeah, Steele, who plays the big one.
Yeah, I would also like to add, and I think this is important, that if this movie was made today with the same cast, it would be insane.
The cast in this movie is like, they're like, what the
like, just the fact that you get Richard Brake playing Portman, like,
yes.
All the other people aside, but like Richard goddamn Brake as Portman, and you look at and you think about like what that character would be doing now. And if you guys don't know who that is, he's like the true bad guy in Barbarian. He's like a character actor in everything, and he always
isn't he Joe Chill? Wasn't he Joe Chill in
he was.
Joe Chill? He's just
I think he was like the Night King in Game of Thrones. I thought
he is the shadiest dude in everything in.
He's the villainous. Most villainous person you could have in your movie.
He does have resting villain face.
His resting villain face.
His face, like when he and the kid find the zombie lady, she's writing on the wall and everything. He turns around and he says, "There is a God." And he's got this smile. He looks scarier than any other fucking demon in that movie. Right
yeah,
there.
Which is great because if you know anybody that's been in the military, there's a good chance they are just that dude.
Yeah.
By the way, I do have to take a step back, Jeff, because I was like, do you remember the movie? And you were like, I have forgotten everything. And let's just do a few top level things. The difference in the Doom movie, as you noticed, they don't do hell. They don't teleport to hell. So the military just found a teleporter that gets them to Mars, and an old society died there. And they find like a body with a 24th chromosome. They're like, this is the perfect body. Hopefully this metaphor hits. I was like, are we about to get Fifth Element? And I was like, that we do not. Turns out they experiment with that 24th chromosome, try and make superhumans because they're like, this is the perfect chromosome.
I would like to add that it is an injectable 24th chromosome.
Yeah, sure, it is. It works instantaneously.
That's how gene therapy works.
Yeah. And let's put it in the biggest, most dangerous lunatic we can.
Yeah.
But he's in a cell with, you know, nano walls or whatever. So we're fine.
It didn't work.
Spoilers, it didn't work in the Doom movie. You're telling me turn into a monster and killed everybody? Oh my gosh.
That's what happens when you trust Weyland Yutani. I mean, the other company that this is.
Yeah.
It's not Weyland Yutani.
UAC, that's right.
Union Aerospace.
But so they inject the chromosome, and it can either make you a superhuman if you're like pure of heart, but this is morality based, but they yada yada around it by basically saying if you are predisposed. So if you are genetically predisposed to be evil.
If you have the human genome for evil.
Yep.
If that's in this movie.
If you inherited evil.
Look, she said most of the human genome has not been mapped.
Yeah.
That's right. It's right there in the movie.
The science checks out, Jeff.
Airtight.
If I can't trust Rosamund Pike in 2005's Doom,
I will say this, when we got to that bit where she starts explaining that, I was actually laughing. Like,
oh, that scene is
stop laughing at that.
To John's point, that has to be the most amazing scene because he's like, we don't have any time. She's like, give me 10 seconds. Here's a demon tongue. Here's pieces of brain matter that on things. And she's like, look, the tongue likes this brain, but it doesn't like this brain. Maybe he was evil. That's the movie. That's a scene in this movie.
Oh, yeah,
look, Destroyer wasn't a piece of shit, and the tongue's not going after him, but Portman, we all know he was a piece of shit. It's like going right after him.
She's also explaining this around an alien mummy that died screaming and covering its face. Yeah.
Protecting its baby.
It's like this we're talking about like an extinct society, and it's like this mummy that we found in this ruins, like, how did they die?
And how did they, because it's bones, just like bones. Yeah. Right.
It's
just
frozen in like, it's like it was taxidermed, like it's frozen in an action pose. That's not how you find people.
Guys, I still can't see a flaw in this movie.
So this chromosome makes people into demons, and it's zombie vampire rules. They're like super fast, super strong, but they can bite you. They apparently like going for the neck. I'm not sure if that's a requirement, but the people we see turn to get bitten in the neck, and then that will turn the other people. But if you're pure of heart, you can become a super soldier that can see in first person shooter mode, which does happen. And so basically this movie, everybody gets destroyed. The Rock turns evil.
Including, Urban. Ironically, Destroyer.
Mm. Yep.
Mm.
Who, Jeff, you might notice was Thundarian in Your Highness.
Not only did I notice that, we can get into all of the individual actors because, buddy.
But anyway, that's the top level
choices. Yeah.
And I did just want to say that, like, the one good part of this movie is when, like, Urban and The Rock pretend to have a WWE fight, and a comment Landon, who we'll get to in a bit, he'll be one of our producers with a great line. He actually was telling me when we were back channeling, he's like, isn't it sad that the fighting in the Doom movie is better than the fighting in the Street Fighter movie, which is 100% true.
That is true. Yeah,
it is. They also do a Double Dragon 3 style somersault back throw, which I was,
hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. This is all I want here. So, I mean, we can go through the, yeah, we'll go through the plot. This plot is such that we'd be wasting your time if we tried explaining everything that happened.
Just go watch the movie. It's worth your time. You can do it.
Well, don't do that.
Absolutely watch this movie.
Don't listen to John and
Jeff. You're the tiebreaker. Tom, you're going to do a 3-1. You should watch this movie. You're going to side with Jeff, who I think is evil.
No,
the tongue would go at Jeff's brain. We know this.
I don't think any one of us would get out of that. I say you definitely go watch this movie. Yeah.
I'm going to assault the three of you.
Yeah, because you're infected with the evil genome.
Yeah.
You have established this.
Like some sort of
the evil genome of bad taste.
So what? Okay, so essentially what we have here is there's a problem on Mars. And now Weyland-Yutani has to get people to come fix it. Excuse me, UAC. has to get these colonial space marines in to fix it. And you'll never believe this, but each individual space marine has their own thing, you see.
They all have like a pro wrestling gimmick.
They all have a gimmick.
I love them all.
And so the first one we meet is Sarge. Sarge receives the information and literally spoils the ending of the movie. As he is receiving, he's like, exterminate all with extreme prejudice. Got it. And he hangs up the phone. I was like, I feel like that information didn't need to be in the opening scene. I feel like you might not have needed to have that.
Defend property at all costs.
Yeah. Like you guys, like, you're not, like, if it's in RoboCop and they establish that, it's because it has to be usurped later, not just pushed forward because you're the Rock. So then we meet Duke, who is playing like an old Tiger Electronics game, and he is the fun, horny black guy.
He is thirsty as fuck. He don't even give a shit.
It's important to note that he grew up with Destroyer, who is the strong and serious black guy. Because you see, they had to do that because it was 2005. They couldn't make them individual on their own. They just had to do that. We meet Goat. Goat is our highly religious, very to the point of
self-flagellating guy.
Self-flagellation. Yeah, he self-immolates when he takes the Lord's name in vain.
And Jeff, how do we know he's religious? What brilliant thing does the movie do to let us know?
Well, aside from the fact that he keeps spout, like, you mean when he carves a cross into his hand?
Like, the movie literally, it's so unsubtle. When we open up on him, it just zooms in on him fondling the cross on his chest. Like, they're like, this guy's got a cross. You know, he's religious.
Guys, that's called subtext in a film. It's a subtle way of letting somebody know something.
Oh, I guess we caught it because we're so nuanced. But others, you might have missed it, the 30-second pan of the cross on his neck to start the movie.
We get Portman.
He's gross.
He is vice. He is gross and disgusting and probably the best character in this movie. we get Reaper, who's Carl Urban, who's boring. And
okay. It's a shame because it's Carl Urban.
Carl Urban is almost exclusively best when he is a straight man.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, even in Dread, like, which I think it might be the height. I mean, you know, he's great in The Boys and everything.
The Boys too.
He was just always a straight man. Like he that was his whole thing moving forward. And they do not stray from that here. They keep it in there. We have Mac, who is played by Yao Chin, who is a non-entity. He's the Japanese guy, non-entity.
You know what I do love about him? We got to give this out. In the movie, they got to go for just some like random racism for no reason, because he's talking to Pinky, the character you'll see later, and he's like, "So your name's Mac, really, Mac?" And he says his Japanese name, which is long. He's like, "Actually, it's this." And the guy's like, "So Mac." So like, literally, they just go out in the way of this movie to just be like, "White people aren't going to learn your name."
Right. Also,
go on.
It's nice that you said that he was talking to Mac, because that is the only line Mac has.
Yeah, it's I think the only time Mac speaks.
And then immediately Pinky ends the conversation.
Mac also, I believe he speaks when he clears the vault or whatever, a vault when they get all the people onto the Ark. Like he reports that he got them on the Ark and everything like that. Mac is the only Marine that does not fire a shot in this whole film.
Doesn't get a chance to.
He sure doesn't. And then we get Kid, because you got to have a Kid. He's the guy who's on his first mission. This is algorithmically predictable how they threw this together.
Oh, yeah.
So then they take a chopper. They get in the chopper where they probably put on camouflage and talk about chewing tobacco. It's so funny that they just literally piecemealed other movies together to make this.
I have always loved that they get on a helicopter to fly to the other place, like to the other transporter that they're gonna use.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that does make sense.
Well, they're there in like 21 Palms or whatever in California, and then they have to fly over to Papoose Lake, Nevada. So like, I was all right with them being in a helicopter.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But, yeah, it makes sense because they wouldn't live on that like company's property. But that, but it's weird. They don't express whether or not these are mercenary Marines or if these are military, like country Marines. Like they're not.
It's not clear.
Well, Portman said he signed up to serve his country, not to get greased, you know, get killed. Yeah. So I'm assuming they're U.S., but like UAC is like Halliburton or Blackwater, so they're kind of incestuous.
It's UAR. In both the movie and the game, the premise is UAR is a corporation and the military is doing top secret experiments. In the game, it's on teleportation. In the movie, it's on flawless genome research, Jeff. They had real scientists on staff for that.
Yeah.
So in both the military is doing secret experiments. So it's kind of an interesting one where the military is like, you need to go there because we're here. But then the other one's a front. And then the spoiler at the end, I don't know if this happens in the game, but does in the movie, is, oh, this place that says they're just doing research and has nothing to do with the military, they're working with the military. Shocker.
I mean, that's just how they do it here. We travel. And basically, we get the standard stuff. Oh, have you ever done this before? Oh, in a simulation, blah, blah, blah. They make it to Mars, and we meet Pinky, who's half a person. the top half, the brain half. So he's, I guess, a full person, but he's missing his legs.
That would have been amazing if it was just a pair of legs that came up, Jeff.
Hell yeah. That would have been exactly the kind of shit that I would have expected from this movie.
It's the Doom movie.
Yeah. I'm surprised the legs didn't attack later. That was also my evil part.
Being permanently attached to a wheelchair like that has to be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. It's a fascinating way to find out how he shits. But
it's a weird attempt at a future mobility device. Yes. It's like, why would you permanently fuse this to his spine?
Look, and we need to make this a pink demon with metal legs somehow.
Well, that's exactly it. They're like, we need to make this demon that actually exists in the game, because that demon does exist in Doom. So, mm-hmm. When they make him, and also, by the way, we're going to get into that fight probably at some point in time. He's like, yeah, teleportation used to be more dangerous. And there's this whole thing where, like, Carl Urban's character, Reaper, is given the opportunity to not go because, quote, she's there. And it's very funny because it seems like they, in the process of writing the script, they shifted the point of this movie to being like an ex to then being a sister. Because the implication is it's an ex, and then they find out it's a sister, and that's it. That they're just like, all right, we'll just move forward.
Well, his parents used to be there and they died in some tragedy. Yeah. He has a tragic backstory, Jeff.
In Odal.
Yeah, that's Olduvai.
It's Olduvai.
Which rampart of Skeletor's castle is that?
You're going to disparage it, at least get it right.
No, actually. I refuse. So we get Samantha, who's John's sister, and she's going to be the escort mission part of the movie. She's going to be
Academy Award winner Rosamund Pike.
Nominee. I don't think she won.
Oh, I thought she won. All right.
I thought she was going to win for this movie alone. Like, she didn't.
That's true. Yeah,
who beat her this year? That is unacceptable.
Yeah, who beat Rosamund Pike in
2000? Probably like Felicity Huffman or some shit.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Meryl Streep. Who was in Doom, by the way? I don't know if you checked the IMDb trivia, but she was signed up.
In talks, yeah.
He was going to play Dwayne Johnson's role as Sarge.
I'd fuck with that.
Could you fucking imagine how good that movie would have been if Meryl Streep and The Rock? I've always thought it would be really funny to switch Meryl Streep and Hulk Hogan in all of their roles.
Well, yeah.
Meryl Streep plays
Rip.
You know, yeah, plays Rip in No Holds Barred, and he gets
beats up Rocky in Rocky III.
He gets
Hulkster in Julia.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Thunder in Paradise.
I'm gonna cook a chicken, brother.
Come on, dude.
Come on, dude. You want to spice this up, man? So, okay. Basically, shit's gone bad. We need to take care of it. People's blood's getting chunky. We need to fix it.
The chunky blood.
The thick blood.
That also reminds me. All right, we probably will talk about this. Can I talk about the monkey real quick?
Okay, so we can talk to the monkey when all we right. get into my
all right.
36 unnecessary jump scares before we get to an actual monster point in here, because this movie took the concept of the false jump scare and just was like, what if most of this movie was that? Yes. Like,
type it at the keyboard. This thing writes itself.
Yeah. Wait a second. So now it's going to be a monkey. That's a surprise.
We don't even need any dialogue.
For some reason. Oh, why? Did you like not do a jump scare with animals already? Oh, we did. Absolutely did a jump scare with animals already, and it won't be the last.
Dog, rat, or mouse, dog, mouse, monkey, at bare minimum, right? In terms of just animals?
Yeah, pretty much.
Get an a owl bare minimum would have
been a good one, too.
Oh, bear, like a tiny bear? Yeah.
So they go into the quarantine area. They find the cell that Portman is like, what the hell is this all about? And Goat is like, what, you've never been locked up? So Goat, I think we believe that Goat has sort of become pious in jail. Is that what you guys get that?
I think he was just like laughing that Portman doesn't know what it is, because clearly Portman's been to jail. And like, he was just kind of laughing. It's like, don't tell me you haven't been to jail. I don't fucking believe you.
The Goat's backstory I got was that maybe he was like a previous sinner and has repented. Yeah. And then he's still fighting. Like, he is genetically predisposed to be evil. But free will versus destiny, Jeff, do such deep themes show up in this movie? You bet they do with Goat later.
I think Goat is the Russell Crowe from The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah.
If you made it in a bad movie and you did it badly. I think the surprise is not necessarily that Portman has been to prison, but that he absolutely should have been to prison.
Yeah, he should still be yet. In prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. He shouldn't be loose on these streets.
Yeah. And
the
this
people
is
of Mars aren't safe.
Yeah. He is on duty, and the second he gets to Mars, he immediately wants to assault some women.
Yeah. And he does it gross. He does it like he's on the really subway. Gross. He offers strip searching to women, and he does it in a way that's like, what I mean is sex.
Like, he's practically drooling with his tongue out.
Yeah, he might as well be doing that thing where you did make the V and do that. All right.
Might as well be a cartoon wolf.
We move forward, and we get a little bit of information. Oh, something mysterious killed our parents in the dig. Oh, we found 24 chromosomes. This is Lucy. It's the whole thing. We talked about it before. Basically, they have this thing where it's like, he could have been an Olympic-level scientist if he didn't become a Marine.
Do you want to say the line again? Do you want to say the line this time, John?
No, I really don't. really don't.
You could have spent your life under a microscope instead of a sniper scope.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Clever girl. and basically, we find out these 24 chromosomes are injectable. So then
the 24th is injectable. We already have the 23.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for making me look so stupid. Portman, they're all going through. There's like little subplots. Portman gives the kid some drugs to get him through everything.
I do like how they play that. Like, he gives the kid some drugs, and they're like, and later, like, Urban's like, how dare you? Don't you do that again? And it's like, as if in the military, just like giving people drugs to just keep going. Like, the entire thing, you brought this up on other shows you've done with like Adam Todd Brown, is like, after the war, veterans came back to baseball and were like, have you heard about speed? You heard about this?
Yeah.
Like,
amphetamines were a very big thing. Yeah, greenies in World War II were one hell of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or Korea. I don't remember it specifically. So we get the jump scare. God, there's so much shit here. This movie's, there's so much stuff. And it's all nothing. I don't know how I can keep saying that, like, Goat knocks over, like, they're trying to move stealthy. Goat knocks over a canister, cuts himself because he said the Lord's name in vain. So he carves a cross into his arm.
Hell yeah.
And we basically find the first scare, which is Carmack running away. Dr. Carmack from the very beginning of the movie. He's the guy who's heading this project. What's funny is, I don't know if you guys paused at all when he's running away, but it's clearly they just used one of the demon costumes because Carmack has a tail when he's running away and he looks wet. And then they find him, and he's just like a scared man holding a severed arm.
As the movie opens with the space station getting invaded, Carmack says, and Carmack, by the way, was the name of the lead developer on Doom.
John Carmack. Steve Willits, also another programmer.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of Easter eggs like that in here.
But at the start of the movie, he shuts everything down. He presses a button, a door slams shut, severs an arm off a scientist. When they find him, he looks distraught, beat up, and he's still holding the arm.
Yeah. We also, it's important to note that there are nano walls here, and there are also vault doors, and there are all sorts of ways you can close an opening up.
When I was watching this, Jeff, I called that laser. Like, when they're walking around and she's like, we got to go in that room. And he's like, and Duke's like, I don't mess with no nano walls. And I was like, this is dialogue and set design, as you mentioned, John, from Laser Cats. Laser Cats on SNL, same level.
Yeah. We get to our next part where Reaper and Goat go into an animal pen,
a lab with animals,
and boo, they're scared. There's animals, and then they like come back to it, and then their animals are gone, and there's like a zombie doctor.
Oh no, like the room, the lights are off, the cages are all metal, there's blood on the wall, and there's like a zombie doctor eating an animal. That's actually kind of a cool scene, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, he went there like to a goddamn Tasmanian devil. Like, there are like chunks of shit everywhere.
Yeah. It was just at the buffet, man.
He was at the
cruising through it, like
the Mars kitchen buffet.
Yeah. Mars Vegas.
Yeah. And so obviously this is our first contact with an infected, right? And I would like to add that the monsters die so easily in this.
Oh yeah.
Unless
just like
you
two bullets.
Their one weakness is getting shot.
It's like, well, in the head or in the heart. You gotta do head or heart, because if you don't, they'll come back. But
yeah, that's a nice arbitrary.
Would a Marine be trained to shoot someone in the head or the heart, Jeff? I mean, you know.
What are the odds?
You know who else would do that? Cupid. All right.
Oh, nice.
Next we have Destroyer and The Rock, which is by far the most formidable team of humans ever teamed up together. Destroyer is carrying a minigun because that's the law. And they see something in the vents and they look up and the xenomorph are actually in the vents. They've gone up into the
Xenomorph. It's a
it's you actually were basically right though.
It's a monkey. And they shoot the monkey. And turns out the monkey was a demon monkey.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that because, again, it only infects you if you're predisposed to evil.
Okay,
so this was a shitty monkey.
It's an evil, demonic. Yeah, so this monkey.
It's like this monkey is the final sign, is the last scion of a long line of hideously evil monkeys.
Just absolute monster.
Generations.
He does try to bite Destroyer right in the face, too.
These monkeys identify with the Christian devil. All of a sudden, you see like a three-card Monty, a tiny little three-card Monty table fall down. He was evil. This monkey was trying to scam us. Little laptop with like Nigerian prince emails going out.
That monkey's got scams upon scams, and he's, they shoot him. All these burner phones fall out of his pocket,
like a fucking trench coat with a bunch of faux watches.
Pack of cloves comes out. Yeah. Man, this monkey was a jerk.
This monkey had an entire mall kiosk in his pockets.
Later, when they're talking to like Samantha, she's like, "That monkey was a dick. We all said we hated that monkey."
Yeah,
this is not a shock.
He vaped in restaurants. I'm glad you shot him.
They find Carmack's wallet. The monkey. I think this monkey was Carmack. Basically, we're closing out on the sewer. Kid is like blah 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 blah, and he's like, "Shut up! You're high. I'm angry at you." And then.
That's the scene. That is literally a scene that happens in this movie.
It's
verbatim.
Splashing around in doo-doo water.
It might as well be. Goat is attacked and bit.
He gets bit.
Gets bit. Did you get bit?
He doesn't get bit. He just touches his tongue on him.
No. Well, then it gets goat gets his neck. Like it completely does. It even goes in. And what's cool is he shoots it and the tongue gets shot off and it falls in the sewer and slithers away. They're going to have to find another tongue if they're going to want to test for good and evil.
Yeah. So I forgot how much they invest in the tongues in this movie.
They're like detachable tongues. They shoot them at people later.
But is it, Freddy's can they like tongue. Reload? Does it grow back?
Or yeah,
can
like, I think it grows back.
Like one like a, person.
Like a reptile, like a lizard's tail or something.
I wonder if that's what the monkey was trying to do to Destroyer.
Yeah. There's this process. Okay. I don't think we can go beat by beat for this because it's fine. But like basically all of these Marines are finding all these dead bodies and they start being like, something is weird in here. Oh, the blood has flecks of evil in it. Duke, meanwhile, is just trying to like, he's being really nastily flirty with Samantha and she's not against it. Like he's like, he literally says at one point, he's like, we should have some sex. Like it might as well be that he literally says something like sex with me is whatever.
It's practically your civic duty is what he says.
Yes. And it's like, that feels like the worst kind of flirting is when you say out loud the thing that you want to do.
Like yeah. That, Duke is like, kind of a creep.
He's like, what do you say? We go have some sex. It's like, I don't know if that's how she wants to. Is that the dance you want to dance right now, Duke?
The dance of seduction.
Yeah,
it's working though, right?
Yeah,
it is. She's probably read that script and she's like, are we doing a okay? And then they get chased by what we find out is Carmack monster, and he gets stuck in a nano wall. He lives
within two worlds now. He's a wall through his body.
Three, actually, because he's also in the wall, maybe.
That's true, yeah.
Or, I wanted to see the backside with just his ass sticking out of the wall.
This is paddling his ass while he's stuck, like Ben
Affleck.
He's just
scratching his ass.
I just like the idea of like a bunch of like freaking dazed and confused seniors coming around and paddling his ass while he's not.
That's why he's so
angry. Get off this space station.
Like an O'Banion coming out of the walls.
Just take off in their car. They got a car in here. We find more dead scientists. Mac ends up just getting murdered.
gets his head knocked off. He gets his knocked off.
It is so lame. Yeah, he's barely in the movie. He shows up. He's in a scene. And, like, he yells Mac. Like, we see a head go flying. Rock yells Mac. He turns around, and he's just headless on the ground.
Which, that's not funny.
It's pretty
it was hilarious, but it was kind of weird.
They're like, we've got such a great scenario for you. You're going to be in this movie. He's like, I'm very excited. Like, you're going to get two lines, and then your head is going to get Mortal Kombat-ed right off your body.
Just like Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah. It's like, do you want $850 or points on the back end? I'll take the check, actually.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we mentioned that this movie cost $70 million. It made $30 million domestic, about another $30 to $40 million overseas. So it didn't even make its budget back before it. And as Jeff has noted wisely before, when you're looking at total movie gross, when you look overseas, you actually need to like ding it because they take more off the top. Did make $30 million in home rentals. So that's not horrible because this was right at the end of the DVD era. But yes, $70 million in this movie kind of brought back in a total of gross around $90 million between home, overseas, video. And it's worth noting that the in theaters, like Tom, you are a significant percentage of this movie's box office, I'll put in quotes, success.
I saw it in theaters too.
Yeah, the Ryman really provided that. I will add that it was actually the height of DVD, the DVD era. You're like, it's at the tail end. I'm like, no, it's at the height.
Yeah, 05, 06 is
like
peak DVD.
That is peak DVD because Blu-ray isn't even out yet.
And it's worth saying, I looked this up because this movie, and maybe at some point we'll talk about the relation between it and Street Fighter, because there's some surprising crossovers this season of Nerd. But I regret that I didn't buy the Blu-ray version of Street Fighter the movie before our episode, Jeff. It's got some gems of bonus features on that, and I just waited too long. I looked up the Doom movie, and it should tell you that, you know, the special features on the Blu-ray for the successful movie at the peak of DVD era, this is when they have, like, two or three director's commentaries and making ofs and bonus things that go along when you play through that, like, two video, like, making of featurettes. So even going to DVD, they were like, no, there is no more money going into this movie. Yep. Slap it on a disc and sell it.
So Goat is dead, and then he comes back to life as he's turning.
This is the best scene in the movie.
Makes
best scene
the
in the
sign
movie.
Of the cross. And
that's
then
a cool kills, shot when he does
and then
that
kills
too.
Himself by smashing his head in to die because he didn't want to turn. And that is such a great allegory.
It's poetry, Jeff.
It is a poem in Doom form.
Well, what I love, though, is he's smashing his head to kill himself. So he's a zombie, and he's come back from the dead because he was declared dead. And so Samantha and Duke are looking through a plate glass window, and he slams his head once, and Samantha, like the fake jump scare, she, like, screams, like, oh, is the monster going to bust through the window? And he does it like two more times, and she screams each time. And then on the third one, he just dies and falls over. And so, like, we have to watch a Oscar-nominated actress pretend to be scared with decreasing amounts because, like, first time she screams, he does it again. She screams again, does it again, screams again, and he just falls over dead. They're like, huh.
Yeah.
Guess he died.
Right. Yep. Guess he's dead. I would also like to add that every time The Rock comes into this, he always goes, what the fuck was that? And then just goes back to doing what he was doing. It's really
there's some new shenanigans every time he comes back through this. I do.
This man is trying to process a lot of what's happening. All right. So every time we bring a dead body in here, they just disappear and you're like, they're gone. That's all you have to say. Like, what are we doing here?
Are you eating them?
The Rock finds the BSG, or excuse me, the BFG. I don't know why I said BSG. Rock finds the BFG, the big friggin' gun, in the armory.
Oh, he says the F word. He says it in the movie. Yes. He even, like, mutters it under his breath. They waste an F bomb on big fucking gun.
They also waste the gun because this gun is fired twice in the whole movie, and it is to almost no effect both times.
I think it kills one monster.
It kills half of one monster. Yeah, it, like, melts half of its body off when it hits it. Portman says he's got to go take a shit because he's been wanting to make a distress call, but The Rock knows what's up, and he's like, absolutely not.
Well, no, he does go take a shit, but basically The Rock says they're not allowed to call for reinforcements. It's worth noting that both the space station is quarantined and the teleport back home is quarantined. So no one can get in or out. That's important because the demons are going to try and escape.
Now we have probably the two best parts of this movie, and they're at the same time, which is Portman taking a shit while calling for backup, hearing something, trying, like, there's a big thing where he loses his clip and he has to, like, stressfully go get it under a toilet stall, under a bathroom stall, finally gets out, and he thinks he's doing great until he is sucked up into the
ceiling.
The xenomorph's nest. I mean, the fucking vents. Now, while this is happening, Destroyer is what I can only assume the most formidable human that has ever lived.
Yeah.
Destroyer is fighting a monster in the cell, and he is taking some hits, but beating this son of a bitch's ass so hard. He's beating him six ways till Sunday.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, this guy gets lucky at the end.
He kind of does. Yeah, the monster gets lucky.
Yeah, the monster's like,
fuck. Piece of shit.
Like, Jesus.
Stabs him and pins him against the wall.
Dude, he pins him up against an electric pipe wall with a giant fucking pole. Meanwhile, I would also like to add the most 2005 desktop computer is right there in 2000.
Oh, yeah, it's like a compact Presario.
Yeah.
I was like, don't they have thinner monitors by now?
And Destroyer uses it to whip that thing's ass.
Yeah, you're... Destroyer uses his environment in a very exciting way. He then is about to escape on the chain. And then the chain is tugged down, and he dies, breaking his neck, falling down back into the cell. And thank God for that demon, because if Destroyer just landed on his feet, he's like, all right, let's go. Let's do this some more. He's putting him, it would be so funny. The Marines walk by and he's got him in the sharpshooter. Just like tearing
him. Pulling him away from the electric wall.
Yeah, he's got him tied up. He's got him tied up on a chair while Steeler's Wheel is playing. He's cutting off parts of him. Anyway, Destroyer and Portman are both very dead. And Pinky is watching Portman's
Portman's a jerk to Pinky, and so Pinky's like watching it, and then this is kind of slightly humorous. So while Portman's getting the shit beat out of him, he's pulled up through the ceiling, and he's smashed back and forth on the bathroom stalls. Funny scene. And the Rock is like, and I'm just gonna call him the Rock the whole time. He's not Savage, he's the Rock.
Yeah, that's what he
is. The Rock is like, Pinky, do you got eyes on Portman? And Pinky's watching Portman.
I want to go back to like their kill cams, which is what he sees him on. They calibrate these kill cams, which are cameras on their guns, by pointing them at each other's heads.
Yeah.
That's right.
They sure do.
An elite team. Yeah, no, they had trainers and consultants on set.
The first thing that you are ever taught with gun safety is
point it at your best
friend. Point it right at your friend's head.
That's how you check if it's loaded, is you stick your
eye dry in the barrel. Fired it. Yeah, dry fired a couple times while you're pointing it at your friend.
You point it at your friend's head and you go, pacha, pacha, pacha. Gotcha. So back in the lab, we see Carmack just hanging out in the wall, just being like, I'm
like frozen mid running man pose.
And he's not boring or trying to get at anybody anymore. He's just
I feel really stupid, by the way, despite talking about the nano walls. I miss that's why he was hanging on the wall, because the scene before ends with him running through the wall and they're screaming, and then the wall shuts off and you're like, oh, okay, they're safe. It doesn't even make sense to where he was logistically, because he was lower, but when they come in, he's like up on the wall, like human level.
Yeah.
And just hanging out there and making noise. But yeah, he got trapped in the nano wall. He's still alive. Maybe it's reversible, Jeff. Yeah. That's what Samantha says. Maybe this is reversible.
Like, it might be reversible. And then the Rock comes in and is like, it sure isn't. His condition is irreversible because, bam, his condition is he is dead.
We got to hold on this for a second. And I don't know how recently the Ryman have watched the Street Fighter movie. Mm-hmm. But in that movie, it's fucking amazing, because Guile's entire arc is he wants to save his friend. And he meets his friend who has been transformed into
Carlos Blanca.
And he's like, yeah, you know, it's awesome. And he's like, Blanca's like, help me. And Guile's like, I'm going to help you. And he pulls a gun, just wants to shoot him.
He's going to blow his head off. Yep.
It's the
best. I'm going to help you.
And the same thing happens in this movie. Like, they get back, the lead scientist that called for help is like on the wall, like, help me. And the Rock's like, I'll help you. Bang. So two movies in a row, Jeff. If the next one we do has this scene too, I'm going to be elated.
God, I can't imagine.
I can't really fault The Rock for doing that, because, I mean, that guy can't be having a great time.
Yeah, yeah, there also has to be a bit where he's like, this is not why we are here. Like, yeah. I know you might want to do this, but first and foremost, he is in a nano wall. So whatever you think you're going to cure, he's still going to have a nano wall through his throat.
Hey, he's got a wall through half his body.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue.
He looks like a California raisin. I don't think he's going to get better.
Yeah, it's funny because The Rock comes here and he knows what he has to do, and there's so many side quests he's being faced with. And he's like, I don't have the energy for this. All of my charge are dying. fuck this guy. And he does say at one point, he's like, all these goddamn scientists are dead.
Yeah.
His
reactions are pretty good to when she's like explaining stuff to him. And yeah. He's just giving her like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I mean, that, to be fair, and Danny Jollis does a great bit about this, where when people are surprised that The Rock is a good actor.
Yeah.
And he's just like, this man shows up, does anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes of improvised material in front of thousands of people, 3 to 4 times a night. He comes out, then he proceeds to fight somebody for 20 minutes to an hour every day. I would like to see Meryl Streep do that.
Yes.
Genuinely.
Like,
by the
yeah.
way, The Rock is great in this. I love The Rock in this.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Like, you know, I mean, they're doing the best they can with what they have. It's like, nobody's looking at this being like, what a bunch of bad actors. It's just, you can't be good in this movie.
It's a firm really. Ceiling to doom. Yeah.
The actors are what saved this movie, because like you mentioned, Richard Brake, you got The Rock, Rosamund Pike in there. They, all the actors in this movie are better than this movie. This movie is beneath all of them.
Yeah, this is our 2024 looking back at it. Yeah. In 2005, you're like, this is a great opportunity for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking back, we're like, everybody in this movie is too good for this movie.
Well, you got to feel bad for actors in movies like this, where if it's so CGI or special effects heavy, like that's a story about Star Wars, is like George Lucas showed that movie without the music and without the special effects. And all of his backers are like, what did we do? Our money is gone. And so you see the final product. So like at this era, especially at the start of CGI, you're like, don't worry. It looks silly now, but rest assured, the special effect when you fire that gun is going to be amazing. And nope.
No. The Rock basically says, we're no longer in a containment mission. Now we're just eliminating everything. And that's going to be a problem. Something is trying to get through the Ark. Blah, blah, blah. We get the explanation that C24, which is the chromosome, makes some people supermen and superhuman, and some people super monsters.
Right. Also superhuman, but evil.
That'd be a great way to find out you're actually evil, is if like you get injected with this and you're like, oh no, I'm not feeling good right
oh,
now.
Really? Oh,
man.
You're just like really disappointed.
Yeah. You'd be like, I put so much effort into
thought
being
I
nice.
Was better than this. I really was working on myself for
although,
the last couple
although
of
Tom,
years.
Up top, you said it would be funny for all of us, like you and Jack, like if you injected it and you're just like, I feel pretty strong, I feel great, you're like, really? Huh, wasn't seeing that coming.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, it goes into somebody who's a real piece of shit and they're just like, oh my god, apparently I'm the best. How much of a cocky piece of shit would you be after injecting that stuff and you became a superhero? You'd become bad after that.
Yeah.
It's like Homelander origin, right?
Yeah. It turns you evil.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate irony.
It turns a good person strong and evil. Like Shawshank. Rock, they go back they teleport back to Nevada. This is such a weird side thing where like, we're going to go back home. Everyone's dead. Great. Kill everybody here. And they find some hiding people. And Rock tells the kid, he's like, kill all those people. And kid doesn't. Spoiler alert, kid's going to die because of that.
Jeff, this is actually a wonderful segue for a variety of reasons. Now, I'm not going to say we ripped this idea off from anybody that may be on this podcast. But for those that don't know, on the Jeff Has Cool Friends Network, you do producers on your show.
I did. I do that.
And we decided to add this to the Nerd Show. Now, I have no idea where we got such an idea. You know, who knows? from the ether. Just came.
Absolutely stole it from Gamefully Unemployed. I do not know why we're dancing around this. I stole producers from Gamefully Unemployed.
I was trying to do the. I was trying to do the joke.
Yeah, I know. I'm just getting through it so we don't have an 8-hour episode talking about how we got to producers,
which we are now getting. Okay, but anyway, so we actually do have a couple nerd producers, including one related to the scene. Their specific producer name relates to what I want to talk about on the scene. So I figured it was a nice segue to it.
Yes. And so I would like to shout out that if you want to become a producer of Nerd, as well as other shows like Jeff Has Cool Friends, you can head on over to patreon.com/JeffMay, where you can produce this show. I would like to shout out to, Norm from Cheers. Always great.
Norm.
We love Norm. The Enchanted Wandering Unpierced Left Nipple Cider served at room temperature.
So the nipple producers, much like the demons from hell, followed us to the nerd show. Perfect.
This is the one. Everybody, hell, get your bad REM covers and occasional Jeff May theme songs at mikeslater.com.
And we do have to shout this out for those that watch the I Must Break Yous with Jeff when we're able to. So we might be adding this live, but on some of the pre-records, there's a theme song we love playing over that. That is Mike Slater. It is. I dig that tune so much, the I Must Break You theme song.
We love Mike Slater, and he says he covers bad REM songs and makes them good. Shout out to I'm Gonna Start Calling Yoda Old Grogu just to see what happens. Shout out to Burrito. And shout out to The Doom Movie has the greatest twist in the history of movies, which is a lie. Patreon.com/JeffMay. Sign up for those if you want to, if you can. We sure would like that. I'm really stoked that these people signed up already, but over the course of just a couple days, we got some people shining up. So, hey, that's fun. And this twist that you're talking about, Dre, the twist that we're all talking about is?
Okay, so shout out to Landon, by the way. Informal sponsor of the Adventures in Babysitting episode, another great episode. He suggested it, and he did not suggest Doom, but he was absolutely stoked. He loves Doom, much like you all. Got the shareware when he was a kid. His dad downloaded it over a modem, which is nuts. Him and his brother went to see this, and after they saw it separately and they talked it, they were so psyched because they were like, clearly when you saw the poster, you knew The Rock was Doom Guy. So like kind of before Master Chief, for us older people, Doom Guy was the person in this game, the first person shooter, the guy you're playing Doom as. So like just the character called Doom Guy, famous guy. You see this movie with Rock on the poster, you're like, Rock is going to be Doom Guy.
Do you know who they originally cast as Doom Guy? Who was the original person that they were working a deal with? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really?
But was he gonna be Doom? Was he gonna be Carl
Urban?
He was signed up
to be Doom Guy, like in the very like when they were like, we should make a Doom movie,
in the '90s.
Yeah. Now, what's important to note here, Dre, is that The Rock was supposed to be Doom Guy. The Rock offered Doom Guy, and he turned it down for Sarge because he thought Sarge was a more interesting character because he is.
And then I was going to throw this out, though, too. There is a double misdirect because in the Doom game, if you read the text, because that's how they had to do it. They didn't have fancy cut scenes back in the day. You had like text, and the way it was edgy is it like cussed and said things in the original 93 Doom game. Your character is on the moon of Mars because you refused to shoot on civilians. And so you've been put there as a punishment. So in this movie, we're like, is Rock the Doom Guy? And then he's doing a heel turn. We're like, I don't think Rock's the good guy. And the kid's like, I refuse to shoot on civilians. We're like, oh, is the kid going to be Doom Guy? No, spoiler, Rock just shoots him in the head. And then the ultimate Doom Guy is Carl Urban. So
Dre, I would like to say that is one hell of a stretch to think that anybody thought kid was going to become Doom.
Yeah.
If you know the Doom lore, then because that could
nobody
be the
knows
could
the
have
Doom
Captain
lore.
America switch,
nobody,
right?
Dre? Nobody thought that
the people that made this movie 100% thought people like Doom lore. There's so many Easter eggs. They are so proud of the one we're going to come up on. But like,
I understand that. What I'm saying is literally nobody that watched this movie ever thought that. You are the first person that thought that.
I win. All right.
Okay. I would also like to add here that also nobody thought The Rock was going to be the good guy. I mean, I don't say nobody, but like it's clear he was never going to be if you watched the first goddamn thing when he says exterminate with extreme prejudice and retrieve property. That's such a pre-villain thing to have to go through.
Yeah, I kind of knew it because, and Tom, I think, probably knew it. I don't know, Tom, if you did, because like,
oh yeah, Sarge is evil in the game.
Yes, this game is heavily based on Doom 3 as far as like look goes, because it's all Doom 3, which I'm a weirdo. That's my favorite one. But there's a bad guy in it named Sarge. He is one of the bad guys that you fight later. So they kind of telegraph it to you if you played the game. But I don't know how they thought someone like you, Jeff, I don't know how they thought like, oh, isn't this a twist? It's like, no.
Not only is this not a twist, but like, the thing that they think, because next we're going to be having our 2 weeks to film Doom Guy scene. She injects him with C24, John, and he's like giving him like, if I turn bad, you have to fucking kill me. But he becomes a good guy. He wakes up kind of like healed up and everything. And we see what has to be one of the, first and foremost, this is so funny. This is so funny for a couple reasons. And the one thing is it took 90 minutes to get to the first person shooter scene. And I know the producers are like, wait till they get a load of this, but everybody will be so bored or confused for the first 90 minutes. And by the time you get to this money shot, everyone's like, I don't care. Like it's funny to me from a production standpoint, because it's the least, it's the thing I care about the absolute least is by the time I'm here, I'm like, I just want this movie to be over.
John and Tom, you saw this in theaters when it went first person shooter. I want to know.
I popped. I did.
Yeah. No, I had heard that it had an extended first person sequence, so I was excited to see it.
I thought it was rad. I'm sorry.
And again, I think they should just do it like Hardcore Henry and do the whole movie first person. Yeah, just do first person the whole movie. That'd be incredible.
So it's funny to me too, because he goes through this first person shooter after we go through 90 minutes of just silly sci-fi original movie shit. And we see that there he goes around and it's like, first off, he puts two bullets in every monster and they're like, I know, now I'm dead. Very funny. Totally non-formidable.
But he's superhuman. He's got like excellent shooting now.
He's got better. His bullets are stronger now.
First off, this is 100% Carnival Haunted House energy here.
Yeah.
Where like everywhere he goes, there are like fake things running at him. There's at one point where he turns around and there's just a scary monster smiling at him.
Yeah.
And I was or like a monster man. And I just was like, why didn't it attack him? It's like waiting to scare him. Like, wait till he sees this. He's going to lose his mind, man.
Guys, watch this.
He does shoot an axe handle to make the axe fall into a monster's head. And then he shoots it in the throat with a shotgun. It's just very funny. But the best part of this is he shows up in this mode and a monster sees him and just turns and runs away like a coward.
Yeah.
He's seen what he did to his friend.
I can't stop laughing at that one thing, because it's like you practically hear the monster go, oh shit, and just like run away. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I love that scene so much.
We also meet the pinky demon. Is the hardest problem for him until he chainsaws its spine and then just shoots it twice in the head and then it goes down. It's like the biggest fucking problem. And then he puts,
which is a surprise because it pushed a flashlight through its own head. Like he sticks a flashlight in his mouth and he just snaps it right up through it, the top of his head.
Yeah.
It's and like then a bump on a cartoon character.
Then pop, pop, two bullets. He drops it.
Oh, I'm dead. Yep.
Oh no, I'm dead. I was
what
so
a bummer.
I was
what a bummer. You go through all that to get mutated into a weird, freaky deaky monster and just like,
oh man, Carl Urban with two bullets and a first person, a cameraman just killed me.
Yeah, like the same a number of bullets you'd need to kill like a German Shepherd. Really?
I will add that there is a point where a dog corners Duke earlier in the movie and Duke is just like, what'll we do? And he's pointing a gun right at the dog. And I'm like, shoot the dog. Shoot that dog, man. Like, what are you talking about?
But he's a good dude, Jeff. He's not going to shoot the dog.
Duke's too busy trying to fuck Samantha.
Exactly. If he shoots the dog, she might not like him.
So I just really get a kick out of that first person shooter scene. Cause it's just, it's so not threatening or scary in any way.
No, it's not. It is very sparsely populated. You're right. It's a very expensive sequence to do, I'm sure.
Yes.
So they couldn't fill it with that much. So it is very much like the State Fair Haunted House, where they have like four people
And they come out, they're like, ah. And
then three of them have to share a costume.
Yes. I just
the haunted hayride.
The one that runs away is just my favorite demon.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, like, he's the best.
I just love the idea that a demon is cowardly. He's like, oh, he's like afraid of Carl Urban. I heard about this guy. But yeah, there are the problem with this scene is that there are no stakes. It is spectacle and it is not done well.
No stakes, just a machine gun and a chainsaw.
Yeah, there's also, I forgot that there was a monster that brings his own chainsaw to the show. I'm sitting there like, who was using this chainsaw before you were monsters? Because it's like this monster is Hulk sized, holding a Hulk sized chainsaw.
Like a logging chainsaw.
It's so big. It's like, what was this for?
Pacific Northwest crater of Mars.
Yeah, like there's some trees on Mars. Like there's no reason for this demon. Like for like what? No scientists. The only person who could use that is Destroyer. He's the only person who was. That's his Excalibur.
Pulls it out of the stone.
Chainsaw on the stone. Well, hell yeah. Also, I'd note that I thought the chainsaw first person was going to have way more play. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but the chainsaw was like the big, like the first, like, oh shit, I can't believe I have this weapon in Doom.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a secret, like you have to get it behind a wall or something. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that he only uses the chainsaw to carve up Pinky's spine and that's it.
Take that shit and find the rock, man.
He should have been in the hallway with the chainsaw, if we're being 100% honest. Like that would have made the movie a little bit better if I think instead of him just having a gun and shooting people, he shouldn't have grabbed the chainsaw.
A lot less shorter.
But yeah, I mean, like the gun makes it too easy. Like he's super powered with a gun.
Yeah.
So like you're just sitting there just like, all right, you guys done? Instead of this thing where like if he had a chainsaw and everywhere he goes, there's a monster and you see the chainsaw, I'd be like,
"Mah!" Right. He should have been running through that hallway with the chainsaw like a lunatic.
Dance, boom, daddy, dance.
The Mars Chainsaw Massacre. Still wearing the mask.
That's why he was running. Demon.
He's got a butcher's apron on. Leather apron.
Duke's face on.
Oh my God. It's science face. Run. So basically, he gets through it, and now we have the Rock v. Urban.
And Rock's like, yeah, I killed him. So Rock gets like pulled down earlier and says, I'm not supposed to die. When he comes in, if you're watching him, you can kind of see. It's hard to tell initially because it's like so dark. This movie is not lit well, as we noted. But you can kind of see a cut on his neck, and later he's going to start turning zombie looking. But the Rock gets back, and he's basically revealed he's killed everybody else. So Samantha, Carl Urban, aka John Grimm, or it's John Reaper, right, in the movie.
John Grimm, his call sign is Reaper. Don't you remember when the guns were introducing
they were introducing everybody, and then Portman is the only one that doesn't get a nickname. Just like Dean Portman. All right.
They kept trying to program them, but the gun refused to say any of them on religious grounds. Like all of his nicknames were so offensive and horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
it was between Portman and Gross Pervert.
It's John versus The Rock. The Rock has been infected, clearly. He's like, I've killed everybody. You talked a little bit about the scene earlier, Jeff. Like, there might have been some improv. This is actually where The Rock is strong. So there's, like, some clever lines back and forth. And this is a half-decent scene, hour and 45 minutes into the movie. Yeah. Does relate back to our Street Fighter episode, where our Street Fighter episode waits till an hour and 18 into an hour and 30-minute movie to have any street fights, which take about 5 minutes and include Raul Julia going like 2 miles an hour like this on wires. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Classic. Just a dying Raul Julia being flung across a
visibly dying
sound stage, beating up a coked out, muscle bound Jean-Claude Van Damme, who finally takes a moment to shoot
he's
a
ever
scene.
Been on in his life. Yeah.
While he's not too busy having an absolute affair with Kylie Minogue.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to great have film. An affair with this Australian actress here.
We have to do the scene? Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on a second.
Hold on. I have to do.
I need some more of this.
Perhaps you're doing too much cocaine.
In one of the scenes you quote in Street Fighter, it is clearly a case where like he messed up the take, and it's the best take they have, so it's in the
100%,
movie.
Yeah. I'm sorry I'm so sweaty. I'm coked out in Thailand. It's very sweaty. Okay, the fight is good. The fight between The Rock and Carl Urban is choreographed, which Street Fighter did not get that benefit. Choreography was not something Street Fighter was used to.
Was concerned with, yeah.
They did not hire Benny the Jet
to
do all this, all the training here. The fight, it's pretty well choreographed. Basically, John gets thrown into the Ark. And if you don't know, the Ark is a teleportation blob, essentially.
Yeah, a little booger.
And then he tosses the grenade in there.
Which they've referenced like 20 times in the movie. Like every time, they're like, if the demons get through, use this grenade. By the way, if the demons get through, here's a grenade. Here's a grenade. Here's the grenade. We hear it a bunch. And then he finally uses the grenade on the Rock.
I think it's very funny that Evil Rock gets his own style of demonization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas like
his own variant.
Now I have a ridge. He basically
gets shark teeth.
They basically turn him into like a Star Trek alien.
Yeah, the alien he played on Voyager.
Yeah, he's the Voyager alien. That's fair. Yeah, he's got like a Cro-Mag brow kind of energy to it.
Gave him like half of Worf's makeup. Just like half of it though.
They gave him a speed Worf.
Yeah.
They gave him the Worf who's making a public appearance at a mall.
A little touch of Worf. just a splash of Worf to get you through.
Just blindfold me and I'll try to do what I remember Worf looking like.
It doesn't need to be screen accurate. It just needs to be close enough for a car show.
This whole movie is just like totally black, so no one's going to see it.
How Worf can we get without getting sued by Paramount, I think, is the real answer here. Like, how much Worf is too much Worf?
How many prosthetics of Worf's did you steal from Paramount?
Just one contact lens. He's like, put the other one in, we have to pay royalties. But John and Sam just get on the elevator.
I want to shout this out as Tom or Jeff, one of the two, said up top that there was a lot of Christian money that came into this movie that may have turned a lot of things. So
that's the rumor. Important to note that that is a rumor. I don't 100% know that that is fact.
It would make a weird amount of sense for this franchise because if anyone listening follows me or follows 1-900 Hot Dog, which is run by our friends Robert Brockway and Sean Baby, I've written a series of articles for them about the Doom novelizations of the computer game. And those are written by a weird Mormon maniac that have all this weird Mormon propaganda in them. So the Doom novels are ultra right-wing religious doomsday cult propaganda.
But also, don't all the women have like big boobs and stuff? Like,
yeah,
and are they sexualized.
That's
called being Christian, John.
They do the same thing. They very explicitly remove the hell imagery and just make it aliens that are pretending to be demons because they know that it scares people.
You know what else scares people, by the way? Aliens.
Demons!
But they're just
aliens
like...
Aliens wearing Halloween costumes.
That's like real hat on a hat energy. It's like, it would be like the Xenomorph dressed
the Xenomorph
like the
putting
Predator.
On a devil mask. Yeah. It's like, you don't need it.
No. You're doing great as you are.
You are a nightmare.
And Tom, that explains a bunch. That is wild. I'm kind of like, we could have talked the Doom novelization instead of the plot of this amazing movie. But all I was going to throw out is the first game ends with you get back to Earth. And you're like, what's going on Earth? And it looks shiny and happy. This is in 1993 DOS graphics. There's like happy music playing. And then you turn and you see a destroyed Doom Ark and a bunny's head on a spike. And basically it's like, oh no, hell has invaded Earth. That's how the end of the first Doom game ends. And then Doom 2 is you're fighting like Satan on Earth. And this movie at the end could have ended that way, where he's like, we're almost home, and they get out. And there is a follow-up movie. And my jokey comment in the script about this, Jeff, is I was like, pay Tom and Dave, which you can do over at the Gamefully Unemployed Network. You can sponsor a tier. Well, they will watch a movie and talk about it for you. If you want to find out about Doom Annihilation, I'm not even reading the Wikipedia article. The only way I will ever find out about that movie is if someone grabs that producer tier over at Gamefully Unemployed and forces Tom and Dave to watch that.
We watched it on a movie night.
Is it called Doom Annihilation?
It sure is.
Like, they took Mortal Kombat Annihilation's failure and were like, we can also do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God.
And that means I missed that movie night, Tom. That I'm.
You did. It was. Yep. It was back in like 2019.
Yep. I would like to add, by the way, that it the four of us oftentimes are listening or participating in Gamefully Unemployed movie nights, which if you are at their $10 tier, you also can participate every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I believe, right?
Yes, so we're doing it earlier now.
8 Eastern.
Oh, cool. Now.
So that has moved. So a couple of pieces of information that we didn't necessarily get to cover in there, little trivia bits. It's important to know that the BFG's locker, the designation is the God code, IDKFA, for Doom.
That's actually the gun code. That's ID killer fucking arsenal. That's all the weapons in the game and infinite ammo.
So at one point, it's important to note that Dwayne Johnson has both working versions of the BFG, or at least he did after
that. Kept those two if I was the Rock.
Yep, 100%.
So I get to keep these, right?
Yeah, I would think so. There's a beating heart in a jar that is essentially their version of the id Software logo, which yeah. I thought was a pretty interesting. There's a 2001 Space Odyssey reference to the archaeological dig, where they kind of reference some of that stuff there. We already talked about the developers getting name cameos in here. So Rosamund Pike turned down Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Hell yeah.
What was she going to be?
He was going to be Rita Skeeter.
And that's a recurring role. Yeah,
it sure is.
Oh,
this was supposed to be as well
for this and Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. I guess Harry Potter might have taken a little bit longer, which is weird because the role is shorter. Yeah. So she turned down what arguably would have been the biggest payday that she will have had for quite some time. And when you talk about like residuals and stuff. Man, being in a Harry Potter movie, that's profitable.
Oh, yeah. You'd hope. I know Carl Urban was signed for 3 movies for Doom.
It's a very Carl Urban 2000s statement, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to add that 2 script doctors that were attempted to be script doctors and shot down, very 2005, Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. They were offered a chance to be script doctors on this, and no. Vin Diesel turned down the lead role.
Is that the animosity between him and The Rock? Like the
Chronicles
Rock
of Riddick.
Never forgive him.
I was also going to say the animosity between Carl Urban and Vin Diesel in Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's a thing, too.
No, how but not real animosity. They're fake enemies.
He plays a villain.
You're just talking in the movie. I thought that was behind the scenes. I wasn't aware of in the Chronicles of Riddick.
I'm sad. There are several cut scenes for intense graphic violence, which feels like the point of the movie.
Oh, did you guys not watch the unrated version?
I did watch the unrated version.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know what you guys.
They added some of it back in.
Yeah. It's 5 minutes longer, that version. Doom Guy was supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, start of in 1990.
He made a different demon movie that year. He made End of Days.
End of Days. I'm going to fight the devil with my fist.
Jericho Kane!
So the Ark is going to be discovered in 2 years from us.
Sweet! That means we get to go to Mars.
I think we should get our ass to Mars. Which I actually really like the idea of Schwarzenegger doing that, where they're like, how would you like to go back to Mars?
That would have been awesome.
It's also set to note that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the only American actor of the main cast.
I noticed that. New Zealand, a lot of English.
Mulder.
And that's just some stuff there. We get a little bit of good music from Trent Reznor in the credits. You know, I mean, we do get a Wilhelm scream around hour 17.
Hour 17.
By the way, you're going to, you just depress me so much, Jeff, because I, you know, when you talk Simon Pegg, of course, we're talking Shaun of the Dead and Edgar Wright.
Yep.
So I looked up Shaun of the Dead, a much superior zombie movie with all the stuff, and that made less than Doom the movie. And I've never like,
yeah,
Doom the movie for this season is the best reviewed movie we're watching. Street Fighter is the highest grossing. Shaun of the Dead made less money overall. This is international and domestic than the Doom movie made on VHS sales.
Okay, so here's my Here's my question to you about that. How about profits?
Well, Shaun of the Dead probably cost like $10. It was $5 million to make Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, they're fine.
They did fine.
Yeah, are you sure? I mean, okay, have they done anything since then? Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg? Has anybody heard from them? I'm sorry, that's my shtick of the thing.
Try not to worry too much about the revenue. Try to worry about profit, because that's the thing that matters. So that being said, that's sort of the wrap up of here. I mean, Tom and John, you guys both really love that. Have you thought about covering Doom? Have you covered Doom on Screenplay?
We haven't. It's not really a horror game. Doom 3 might be one that we would cover, just because that's more of a horror game. It's very Spook House, and it was written by Warren Ellis, actually, the script for that one, the story and everything. So it actually has a story, and a lot of the monsters and kind of the hallways are based on that game. So that might be one that we could cover. But like the other ones, they're not really horror. They're just like kind of just crazy fun action.
First person shooter with horror elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, any movie that came out before, any game that came out before good graphics can't really be horror, because you're like, well, I'm not afraid of this 8-bit dip. Like,
unless it's text, and that's kind of cheating.
You can't be afraid of Jason Voorhees in the NES version. Like, it's not scary.
No, with purple Jason.
So like, I think Doom is horror. It's just horror within the limits of its technology.
Right.
Yeah.
For the first two games, I would agree with John. We might cover Doom 3, but like even the new ones, like 2016 or Doom Eternal, that's just balls out. That's Call of Duty, basically.
It's like a cartoon, practically.
Yeah. Yeah, they're certainly not the foreboding, gloomy horror, or that, like, you know, the stuff that makes you reconsider your life. gentlemen, if you, I mean, we were looking at that. Did you, so did you buy this when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
And on digital video disc?
As soon as it did, I went to Best Buy, grabbed that sucker off the, this is a dated thing. I went to Best Buy to buy that DVD immediately.
Good.
Not a Blu-ray or anything.
The one time that name of the store was wrong.
What about you? Did the Ryman brothers buy two copies, or did you just
I own it.
Maybe we weren't like together or anything like that.
You're old. It's so funny because it is so frustrating to be like, forever ago we were children. It's like, oh no, forever ago all of us were
all in our
adults team. Living on our own. I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that is
this. This movie came out the same year that my son was born. So.
Yeah, I had already graduated from college when this movie came out.
The eighth graders I taught wanted to see this movie in the theater. It came out, so.
They were right.
Oh my God.
So if you want to see where I was at that point in time. So I mentioned before, Gamefully Unemployed, if you guys want to check out Screenplay, which you absolutely should have. The Ryman Brothers coming in hot. Is this a monthly show?
It is, yes.
Just like us.
Yeah, holidays kind of slowed us down a little bit, but yeah, it's back to monthly now.
Welcome back. Tell everybody else what else we can do.
Okay, well, if you want, you can head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That way you can get access to cool, original, exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and Spiel Boys, which are two shows that we do with our sister network Small Beans with Michael Swaim and Abe Epperson. So you can check them out as well. But also we have other tiers on Gamefully Unemployed where you can do movie nights with us, like Jeff mentioned earlier. You can commission your own podcast, like Dre mentioned earlier, about pretty much anything you want. We have all sorts of stuff, so check that out. And also you can find our free feed of shows anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just search for Gamefully Unemployed and leave us a review there if you like.
Yes, please do.
I've got to do a throwback, because if you love the horror stuff that you just saw, I do have to give a shout out. This is back in the archive, so check it out. But Resident Evil, another movie that was on the docket that we could have done, Tom and Dave on the Gamefully Unemployed Network actually pretend like they are employees in the Resident Evil movie. And it's such a beautiful piece of art, because you talk the movie, but then you pretend that you're people in the movie reacting to what is going on. And that is the only way I will imbibe a Resident Evil movie. Same thing. I'm not going to watch Doom Annihilation. So either that shows up on a movie night, or someone sponsors Tom and Dave to watch it. But like that is the only way I'm watching in Resident Evil or Doom Annihilation. And as mentioned, great things you can get on the Gamefully Unemployed Network. If they're open, those things snap up. I'll tell you, I regret letting my hold go, because I sponsored a Kevin Smith show there, and that shelf has been there for months.
Old Smith, New Smith is the name of that show.
Love it. And Kevin Smith knows about it. I went to a show with him, and I gave him the logo, and he really dug it. So.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. And the
rest is just high and in a good mood, but he really liked it.
Yep.
The Resident Evil one is called Worst Corp Ever.
Yeah,
you can search for that. We did every single Resident Evil movie.
Yeah, who sponsored that?
I don't remember.
I'll have to look that up, and maybe when I do the producer stuff, Jeff, I'll tag that in, because that is one of the favorite things I've ever seen produced. Oh, cool. And done.
That is pretty fun.
Sounds good to me, Dre. So John, you're covered, right?
Yeah. We're just, you know, like Tom said, you can find Screenplay on the free feed for Gamefully Unemployed. We just had one come out yesterday on Little Nightmares 2. We've got another pseudo Valentine's Day episode coming out later on in February, where we're doing this weird ass anime dating sim that Tom ambushed me with. That
Doki Doki Literature Club is what we're doing.
Yeah, Doki Doki Literature Club. I didn't know if you wanted to tell him ahead of time, but we're going to have a fun guest on for that too. So
sounds good.
Love it.
Dre, what do you got going on?
All right. So you can find me most places as Nerd Numbers. The thing I am most proud of associated with the Nerd brand, though, Jeff, is here on the Jeff Has Cool Friends Network. So Jeff, let's get all the plugs, and I know you'll announce the nerd tiers as well.
Well, if you are listening to this for free, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That means that you are also aware of Jeff Has Cool Friends, because this is under the same umbrella. If you want to head on over to patreon.com/JeffMay, you can get early access to uncensored episodes of Jeff Has Cool Friends, as well as access to Ugh Fine with Kim Kral, and earlier access to Nerd with Dre Alvarez, of course. We are going to finish up next month. We're going to finish up the unfortunate video game adaptations. Now, following from there, we also have an opportunity for you to sponsor this show. You can be a producer if you sign up. I did mention that earlier, but head on over to patreon.com/JeffMay and you can sign up to produce this show, as well as all sorts of stuff on there. Check it out. You get stuff in the mail with the I Must Break Yous, which I do every Wednesday. On top of that, of course, I do a show with Tom every week called Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, which you can, again, get only on patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's G-A-M-E-F-U-L-L-Y, unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds. And then on top of that, everything I do with Adam Todd Brown, including you don't even like this show, you don't even like sports, and you don't even like sports live, which is done every Wednesday at 4:00 Pacific time. So, woof. Little peek
on
that one. We're going to be recording that in 5 minutes. Thank you all so much for joining us. It means the world. Tom and John, it really means a lot that you guys are here. Thank you for
thanks.
Thank you. It was fun.
Really?
You know, I don't know if this was better or worse than Super Solvers, but I definitely enjoyed it. And if you don't think Jeff says you shouldn't watch this movie, I will just say, because we don't release this video, Tom's face as Jeff was recapping this movie alone was a delight. So like not even watching the movie, Tom hearing Jeff explain this movie, so much joy. So if it's secondhand that much joy, think about how much joy the actual movie is, Jeff.
Yeah, no kidding, right? We are available. You can find me, of course, on social media at Hey There Jeff Rowe, as well as my YouTube account. And again, to piggyback on what Tom said, if you're listening for free, it sure would mean a lot if you rated, reviewed, subscribed, notification bell, very free. We actually make money off of that. So, hey, thank you very much. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. We'll see you next month with Nerd.
Thanks for listening to Nerd. If you want to help keep the podcast growing, it's definitely worth your while to head over to patreon.com/JeffMay. And also, you'll get bonuses and early access to cool stuff. cool stuff like videos of Jeff showing off awesome collectibles and doing pack-breaking videos. It'd be worth your while to check out Jeff May's YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@HeyThereJeffro. That's spelled J-E-F-F-R-O. And shocker, that is also his Twitter and Instagram account as well. So follow Jeff everywhere. You can find me most places on the internet as @NerdNumbers. Also, shout out to Chris Haugen for the outro theme of Pure Magic. Thanks so much, and we'll be back with another nerdy subject soon.